Begin the current daf in Masechtas Yuma, daf Lamed Vav. We begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins discussing the previous Mishnah that concluded the previous daf on the bottom of Amud Beis. That is, the Mishnah began talking about the second phase, which was a continuation of the previous Mishnah, discussing when he has transferred from the Bigdei Zahav, the golden, the Shmoinim Begodim that he used for the Tumah Shel Shachar, and then he went and immersed himself in the mikveh, he put on his Bigdei Lavan, he's going to phase two, which is doing the Avodah that's inside the Kachar Kachim. So the way he begins, as our Mishnah introduced on the previous daf, that he takes his par, that's his bull, that's an atonement for him and for his family, and that we said that that animal is situated when he's going to do the smichis yadayim, lean his hands on the animal and say the vidui, it's bein ulam ulmezbech. It's between the antechamber, which is the entryway to the sanctuary itself, and the mezbech, the altar, which is there in between, which is there in the azara, and his par is in between the two. So now that is what introduces the Gemara's question. Man shamitle, the Omar, who's the one that told us this idea, which is what the Tan of our Mishnah essentially is saying, that says, bein ulam ul mizbeach, that the area between the antechamber and the mizbeach is called tzafen, that that's called for the halachas of the slaughtering of kachay kachim, that is, karbanis that are in the category of kachay kachim, like chatas, asham, they need to be slaughtered in the tzafen area, in the northern part of the Azara, and his power is in that category of kachay kachim. So therefore, who is the one in our Mishnah that says that his par, which is what the Mishnah is saying, is allowed to be between the area of the Ulam and Mizbeach, and that that will be halachically considered as if it's in the Tzafen area of the Azara in regard specifically to the halachas of the slaughtering of the Kachar Kachim. That is, what we're talking about over here is that the opening of the Heichal is smack in the middle of the Azara. That means halfway it's towards the north is from the northern part of the Azara, and halfway from the south is towards the south. Now, we're saying that his par is in the northern part of the opening of the Heichal, which is the northern part of the Azara. But again, it's between the Ulman's Beach. Now, our Mishnah told us that the par is in that area. And there's a Mishnah later on, Daf Memalfam Beis, says that what our Mishnah is referring to is the Vidui. But the Mishnah later on tells us that where he says the Vidui is exactly where they slaughter it. Because it says over there, Bola Eitzel Parish, and he comes to his power again. V'samach shtei yadav, he leans his hand on it. Shchatoi, v'kibbe mizach, he slaughters it and accepts it with the container, and therefore we see that where he's doing the vidui, which is our Mishnah is talking about, is where the slaughtering is. So that means the power, his power, which our Mishnah says is between the ulam and mizbeach, he's going to not only do the vidui, that he's going to slaughter it, and that has to be in the tzafen part of the Azara, specifically for the lachs of kachay kachim, and therefore our Gemara is asking, as the Gemara will demonstrate that this is a machlokes tanoim, who is the opinion that has to be that our Mishnah is going like, that holds for the halachas of Tzaf and Hazara, that is where, in the northern part of the courtyard, specifically we'll see what is considered northern for this halacha of Kachay Kachim, that says that between the Ulman's Beach in the northern part of the Hazara will also be included in that area. So that the Gemara answers, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, it goes like the Tanya, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya like Linda Brisa, and it's a three-way machlokes regarding what is considered north. Obviously, we know there's north and south, and it would be split up into those two parts. That would be very simple. But as we're going to see, they argue regarding the definition that the Pasuk mandates regarding the northern part for the Kachay Kachim, exactly which part of north is considered north. As the Brisa tells us, Ezehu Tzavim, what is considered north for these halachas of the Kachay Kachim, where it has to be slaughtered. So the first opinion of the Brisa is, Mikir shel mizbeach tzafonim, from the northern wall of the mizbeach, v'ad kois lazar, until the wall of the courtyard due north, u'keneged kol mizbeach kulay, and opposite the entire wall of the mizbeach, which is 32 amos long, which is opposite the mizbeach towards the north, that's called, as the Gemara says, tzafen, that's what's called tzafen, again, specifically for this category of slaughtering kachay kachim. However, if it's not directly opposite the wall of the mizbeach, which is due north, and in that area, all the way towards the northern wall of the Azara, where, in other words, if it deviates to the west of the mizbeach or to the east of the mizbeach, even though it's technically in the northern part of the courtyard, that would not be considered, quote, tzafen, north, for the halachas of slaughtering kachay kachim, because not only do you need north, there's another criteria, according to this opinion. It also needs to be what's called al yerech ha-mizbeach, as the Pasuk says in Mikra Aleph, v'shachar oisa, you should slaughter it to kachay kachim, al yerech ha-mizbeach, by the side of the mizbeach, tzafayna, due north. So therefore, that this opinion holds that it's not enough just to be on the northern part, it has to be northern, but also contain opposite the area of the Mizbeach and the northern wall of the Azara, Divrei Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. He holds it's only opposite the wall of the northern wall of the Mizbeach all the way towards the northern wall of the Azara. The second opinion of Braisa, which is what our Gemara is saying, is what the town of our mission is like, is Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon Moisef. He adds on not only that area which is opposite the northern wall of the Mizbeach to the northern wall of the Azara, but he adds Af Beinu Ulam al Mizbeach, even the area north that's between the antechamber and the Mizbeach, that entire northern area, in other words, this is due west, that's also towards the north, is also going to be included, even though it's not Yerach Mamish, it's not literally the side of the Mizbeach, but that's included because that's closer towards the Heichal. That would be included in the area of Tzafayna for the Halachas of Slori and Kachi Kachim. But however, the northern part of the Azara, eastward of the Mizbeach, that would not be included in the Halacha of Tzafayna, and that wouldn't be kosher. So again, as the Gemara will conclude, that this seems to be that he's the town of our Mishnah, because we're the power is between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, and it's in the northern part, and we consider that a place where he could slaughter his power, which is Kachi Kachim. The third opinion, the Braisa, the Rebbe Moisef, he adds on even more than the other two opinions. He says, Af, even the entire northern part of the Azara, even the 11 Amma area of Mokum Drisus Ragle Kahanim, which is more east, and the Af, even more the 11 Amma area of Mokum Drisus Ragle Yisrael, where the non-Kahanim, where the Jewish people could walk, all the way until the eastern wall of the Azara, he considers all that as the northern part of the Azara. In other words, for the halachas of Slon Kachar Kachim, and even not only directly opposite Mizbeach and towards the west, which is what the second opinion of Elazar ben Shimon adds on, but he also even due west, all the way towards the western wall of Azara, that's all included in the northern area where one can slaughter Kachar Kachim. However, the Braisa tells us that Aval ben Achalifas v'lefnim, but from the area of the Chalifas and inward, now what the Chalifas was the chamber of knives. That is because the width of the ulam, the antechamber, which is, so to speak, like a entryway into the heichal, the sanctuary itself, was wider than the heichal by 15 amas to the north, and similarly 15 amas to the south. Now, that area that it extended was only 10 amas from west from east to west. And that is, although the heichal took up, let's say, a certain amount of space in the length of the courtyard, and the ulam extended 15 amas further than the Heichal, but that was only for a distance of 10 Amos. Then beyond that, it would be like a T-shape that it was extending only for 10 Amos. Now, that extension was called HaChalifas. And the reason is because in that area, there were 24 different windows, which had a window for every single mishmar, because there were 24 mishmaris of Kehanim that kept on switching off per week in the Beis HaMikdash. Where there is where they would keep their knives of Kodesh that they used in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, in Arabic, a knife is called chiluf, and that's what it was called. Hachalifais, because that was the place of the chamber of where they kept the knives. Now, the ear space behind that chalifas, again, what extended like a T, behind that area towards due west, and also the ear space itself from the northern wall of that extension of the chalifas towards the northern wall of the Azara, all that is called min hachalifas. That area from the chalifas and inward, hakol moedim shepasal, there everyone agrees, even if it's going to be on the northern part of the Azara, will be invalid for slaughtering kachi kachim over there. And the reason is, because since in that area, especially when it's hidden behind that extension, the mizbeach is not even visible from that area. Therefore, according to everybody, that cannot be included in what the pasuk requires of yerech hamizbeach. And therefore, that everyone, even Rebbe, everyone would agree that area is not going to be included in Tzafayna. However, that was the conclusion of the Braisa. But one thing we do see is that the town of Amishnah is like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who says not only opposite the area of the Mizbeach, like the first opinion of the Braisa, that of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, but even Bein Ulam and Mizbeach, even though it's not directly by the Yerech, by the opposite of that, between the two walls of the Mizbeach and the Azara, but even due westward, again, not past the Chalifas and westward, but between the Ulam and Mizbeach, would be included in the area where you could slaughter Kachi Kachim, at least in the northern part of the Azara. But now the Gemara asks, Lema, are you trying to say that specifically when the Gemara said, who's the town of our Mishnah, that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon he v'loy Rebbe? There are three opinions in the Braisa. So the first opinion, obviously, our Mishnah cannot be going like, because he says it's only directly opposite the Mizbeach and the northern wall. And we're saying it's more westward, that he's taking his par, the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, bin Ulam the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon added that area that it could be slaughtered with it. But are you saying that it's not like Rebbe, but Rebbe, who he says not only there, but he says even eastward, which is further away from the Heichel and further away from that area? So that the Gemara says, no, a Philotamer Rebbe, of course we would say that the Talmud of Mishra could even be like Rebbe, because, and the Girsa takes out the word Verebbe and it puts it after the word Hashta, Hashta Rebbe ad Rebbe Yisir Rebbe Yehuda Maisiv. If Rebbe's adding on, then even more than the first opinion of the Braisa of Rebbe Yehuda, that says that not only directly opposite the Mizbeach and the northern wall, but all the way towards the east, all that whole area of Azar is included in the north for the Slorim and Kachar Kachim. Are there Belazar ben Shimon loy Maisiv? Are you telling me he's not adding on more than Belazar ben Shimon? In other words, of course, what's your question? It's obvious that we weren't particular when we said it's just like Belazar ben Shimon. We were saying that it's even like Belazar ben Shimon. But most definitely it's like Rebbe, because if Rebbe's increasing the area of Tzafen even towards the east, which is further from the sanctity of the Heichel, and he's adding on to Reb Yasi, for sure he's going to be inclusive of the ear of Reb Elazar ben Shimon, because how can you say that he would say that the eastern part, due north, would be kosher for the Slodom of Kodja Kachem, which is further away, and that which is closer would be invalid? It wouldn't make sense. So of course, we didn't say that it's just like Reb Elazar ben Shimon. It says it has to be at least like him, but of course Rebbe, who adds on even more areas, the halacha would be like him too, that of our Mishnah, that the power was able to be there, ben Ulam Mizbeach, and be slaughtered over there. However, the Gemara says that Anan Hochi Kamrinan. You were asking, you're saying, oh, it's so obvious, what was the question? He said, no, our question was, of course we knew that Rebbe holds that you could slaughter Kachar Kachim in the northern part, even between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, like Reb Elazar ben Shimon. Now, when we had asked the question, let's say maybe we were particular in Dafka to say the halacha of our Mishnah is like Reb Elazar ben Shimon and not like Rebbe, our question was that we wanted to infer that the Tanna of our Mishnah is not like Rebbe because of a different point. And that is, if Rebbe says the entire Azara is kosher for the slaughtering of Kachar Kachim, so then Rebbe, if it's Rebbe, then why did we Dafka bring the par between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, but Bekula Azara? But Nukme, but you, however, you could have brought the power itself in the northern part, Bekula Azara, and the entire Azara, wherever you want to. So that's what we asked. Not that because Rebbe wouldn't say it's kosher ben Ulam Mizbeach, but rather, why did we particularly bring it just there? Must be because it's like Reb Elazar ben Shimon who says, yes, it's kosher over here, not just opposite the Mizbeach, but because you can't bring it wherever you want to do eastward in the northern part, because it's not like Rebbe. Because it's like Rebbe, why do we bring it just over here? And that's where we're saying maybe the Mishnah is not like Rebbe. However, the Gemara answers to that question. So that's your question. Okay, that we hear. But Elamai, but what would you want to say then? Reb Elazar ben Shimon, that the town of a Mishnah is particularly Dafka like Reb Elazar ben Shimon, but then it would still be a question. Because Venukme bein Mizbech v'lekaisel, you should still have had the power of the Kohen Gadol not between the Ulam Mizbech, but rather directly opposite the Yerach HaMizbech and the northern wall. Because as Rashi explains, everybody agrees the primary area of Tzafen for the Kachar Kachim is by Yerach HaMizbech, as the Pasuk tells us. So therefore, it would still be difficult, according to Reb Elazar ben Shimon, that yes, he also allows this area, but why have it there? Have it in the primary area. But then what would you have to say? So why did they bring it closer to the opening of the Heichel and not do it where the primary area is, and rather did it by the Bein Ulam Mizbeach? What you would have to say in explanation of our Mishnah, which is going like Reb Elazar ben Shimon, you would have to say because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol, we don't want to make it harder than it has to be, that he has to carry the weight of the Mizrak Hadam, which is the container that held the blood that he would do the Kabbalah with, that he has to take it so far if it would be by the Mizbeach area to carry it all the way into the Heichel where he has to go ahead and spray the blood. Rather, we brought it closer so that he's right by the entryway of the Heichel. But if that's what you would have to say, so then the Gemara says, Rebbe Nami, so according to Rebbe also, that you're right. Even though the entire Azara is kosher in the northern area, but we Badafka brought it closer to the opening of the Heichel, Mishum Chosha the Kohen Gadol, because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, the Tan of a Mishnah does not only have to be like Reb Elazar ben Shimon, but of course it could even be like Rebbe. Because although the question was, but according to Rebbe, why just here? Why can't we have it anywhere? Of course you could. But that same question applies to Rav Elazar ben Shimon. Why here? Why not in the primary era? Because he wanted to make it easy on the Kohen Gadol to have it right in front so he could just walk right in. That's the same reason why, even if the Tana of a Mishnah is like Rabbi, we did a Davka bein Ulam bel Mizbeach. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah. So he said, okay, so the par, the bull is brought, it's between the Ulam and Mizbeach. Then we said regarding the exact direction of the animal, we said that Reish Yiladarm, its head is facing towards south. Ufanav Lamar, but its face is due west. The Gemara says, Heichem Mishkach Isla, how is that possible? The face is generally part of the head. If the head is facing south, how is the face facing west? On that Amarav, Ba'ikimis Reishi, where we twist, we turn the head, and therefore, so although the head, which means the front of the body, is facing towards south, but the face itself is facing towards west. So now the Gemara asks, why do we do this? V'nuk milahedya. Why don't we do exactly how it should be? If you want the face to be facing towards the heichel, so then have the back towards the mizbech, and have the face towards the heichel. Why do we have the body facing from north to south, and then we turn the head? Just have the body from east towards west. Some Abaye says, gzeira, it's a decree, shemiyarbitz klolim. That maybe it may lay dung, it might defecate, and that's disgraceful for to have the area of where it defecates from, the base harei shaloi, that it should be facing towards the mizbeach. And therefore, what's better for us is we do as follows: we have the tail facing the northern part of the azara, and the head faces south. Now, what comes out is that the area of where it defecates from is not in any form or fashion opposite the mizbeach, because we only pull the animals toward the south. Only a part, we don't do the entire length of the par in the southern area. Rather, only part of the body of the par is between the ulam and mizbeach. And therefore, so you have the animal, its rear is facing towards the north. Now, its head area is now between the ulam and mizbeach. And that head, you then turn towards the heichel. So therefore, in a sense, none of the bodies of the animal's rear is even in that area between ulam and mizbeach. But we don't even want it facing that direction. So we have it from north to the south, and then we turn the head. So that's how we can fulfill the halacha of that we need to face of the animal to face towards the western area. Now, related to this, that we're discussing about the smicha, the leaning that the Kohen Gadol would be doing on his par. So the Gemara introduces a braisa in general. Tarabon learn the braisa. Ketzad semich. How does a kohen that how does a baal that's doing the avoda on the carbon? How does he do smicha, leaning on an animal of kachi kachi? So that the Braisa tells us, hazevach emid b'tzafin. So the animal, the carbon itself, stands in the northern part of the azara, as we just said, described before, that kachi kachi require a halacha for it to be in the northern area of the azara. Ufanav lamayv. However, the face of the animal is facing towards westward, and it is, and the back is facing towards the east. The hasoymich, and the owner, the baal of the carbon that's bringing it, he leans on the animal. He's imid b'mizrach, he stands in the east, which means that his back is facing east. Ufanav lamarav, and his face is towards the west. So again, the animal and the owner are both have the back towards the east and their face towards the west, towards the heichel. Umanich shtei yodav b'shtein karanei shel zevach, and he puts his two hands between the two horns of the carbon. Ubavad shlei dover chaitzitz b'noi lebein hazevach, and he has to be careful that at least that nothing interposes between him, his hands that is leaning on the animal, and the animal itself. Umizvada al chatos, now, regarding a carbon chatos, he confesses of an chatos, a sin of a chatos. I mean, in other words, for that sin that he's bringing the carbon chatos for, that's the confession that he makes. Val asham, and the carbon asham, he confesses of an asham, the sin that for that reason that he's bringing the carbon asham. Va'al oila, and the carbon oila, we have a machlekes. The first opinion says that ovin leket shikhu upeya umaiser ani, which is a machlekes, Rashi does not go as maiser ani. But regarding all these different things, which the Taisi Yeshanim explains to us, now it just picks these things of leket, shikhu upeya, which are different matnis adniyim by a field, those gleanings that fell down, or that you forgot the different bundles, or the corner of the field, which one is required to leave for the poor people, and simply maiser ani. Now, the property, why these are significant, is because they are what's called a lav hanitig l'essay, according to this opinion of Rabbi Yitzhak Lili, that since they can be rectified, although it's a negative prohibition to take away the corn of the field, the peya, or to go ahead and claim those sheaves that were forgotten, or to take the gleanings and take it for oneself, that one could rectify it by putting it back. Now, however, what the Bryce is telling us is that these are in that category, because as we're going to see, the next opinion argues and holds that they're not in that category. But however, the main idea over here is that these things do not have their own atonement. They don't have their own vidui. So when you bring a karma chatas, it has its own vidui. When you bring an ashram, it has its own vidui. These sins of leket, shechad, peya, and maiser ani, which Rashi says that it does have its own vidui, that's a discussion in the Rishonim. However, they are nitik le'asei. They don't have their own punishment, because if it could be rectified, it doesn't have an oinish of malchus or karas. So therefore, these things would be brought on the korban oila, and they would be set, and their confession would be set on that oila. Divrei Rabbi Yisrael, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yisrael. So again, the main purpose, the main function of this, of the oila, is when something doesn't have its own carbon, it doesn't have its own punishment, so the oila is brought for that type of general category. And what Rabbi Yisrael is being mechadish, what he's saying unique, which Rabbi Akiva would argue on him, is that he's saying that, and there will be a machlekes and amud beis, a machlekes and meram, how exactly to interpret the opinion of Rabbi Yisrael, is that they are nitik le'essay, they're not a full-fledged lav. Therefore, since it's not a full-fledged negative prohibition, you can't bring a karma chatz for it or karma asham. Hence, it will be the sins for these things will be confessed on the karma oila. Rabbi Kiva says, he argues. No, he says, ein oila ba, karma oila is only brought. In other words, if something that has a punishment of karis, of dying early, or mises bezdin, where bezdin kills the person, so there it says the punishment for them. Now, if someone transgresses a negative prohibition in the Torah, there it also says the punishment in the Torah, that of malchus of lashes. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva says it must be a korban oila is only brought, illa alase, only if someone transgresses a positive commandment. In other words, he doesn't do the positive commandment. Or va'aloisa se shenitik le'ese, which, again, both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yisrael agree to the main concept. Question is, in the application of the cases of leket shechem peya, so something that is an essay, or that's even if it's a negative prohibition, but it's a way to rectify it. For example, someone stole, he could then return the stealing. So there's a way to rectify it. So in those things, one does not get malchus. And therefore, if there's no malchus, so how does one rectify for the punishment? He's not getting killed for it. He's not getting lashes for it. He has no specific carbon for it. So what does he do? And that is what the oil is brought for. And then he confesses that sin of the mitzvah seseh or the lava nitik lase on that oil. However, on that point of leket shechad peya, as the Gemara will explain right now, Rabbi Kiva argues and does not consider that to be a lav that doesn't have a unique punishment. And therefore, that it should be like a bishagli, that it should be confessed on the oila. He holds that no, it has its own unique punishment, and therefore it will not be confessed on the carbon oila. As the Gemara says, "B'maikamefki, what exactly is it that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yisrael are arguing about?" Again, they agree to the main principle that a carbon oila is brought for a mitzvah essay or lav hanitik essay, but they argue if leket shechad peya is included in that category or not. What is the machlekes? So I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah. The first opinion, that of Rabbi Yirmiyah, he says, and we continue on Talmud Beis, Belav de Nevela Kamifikli. They argue regarding the prototype for this machlekes is the negative prohibition of consuming the flesh of a dead carcass that wasn't slaughtered properly. Where the Pasuk says, after the negative prohibition, where it tells you not to eat from Nevela, it then says a positive commandment by saying, rather, Lagerashe Besherecha Titnenova Achla. Rather, to the resident convert that's in your gates, to him you should give it and let him eat it. Now, as Rashi explains, it's most definitely that, although it would sound like, and as the case in other mitzvahs, that it would be a lav, negative prohibition, that then says a nitik la'esei, oh, there's a way to rectify it. So Rashi says, obviously, this lav of Nevela is not the positive commandment, what to do with it afterwards, is not rectifying the negative prohibition. Because giving the nevela to the ger, to the resident convert, the ger toishav, is not possible to be done after the person already transgressed the negative commandment of eating the nevela. Because if it's eaten, you can't then give it to him. And that's what the negative prohibition was. So obviously, it must be that the positive commandment is going on initially. In other words, they're parallel. That is, don't eat the nevela. Rather, what should you do? Not in case if you do, then you can rectify it with this. Rather, what should you do? They give it to the ger and don't eat it. So they're running parallel. However, there's a machlekes how to interpret this essay that comes after that negative prohibition of the nevela. And that is, Rabbi Kiva Saver, lav ma'al yuhu. He holds a negative prohibition of eating a nevela is a full-fledged negative prohibition. Hence, if one transgresses the lav of eating a nevela of a dead carcass, he gets malchus. Now, the lav of leket shechem peya also has a similar mahalach, a similar approach in the pasuk as it does by nevela, where it has a positive commandment after the negative prohibition is written. But the same logic follows over there that it sounds like it's going initially, because the pasuk says, "V'leket kitzircha loy salaket." do not gather the leket, which was fell down when you had been reaping, don't gather it. Rather, lo anitazveno, leave it for the poor person and don't gather it. And therefore, Kiva holds that you get malchus, and therefore the carbon oil is not coming like Rabbi Yisrael Glazer said on leket shekhem peah, because it's a full-fledged lav. Although it has the essay afterwards, but that's just like by Nevela, which he holds a full-fledged lav, because it's not being monotic, it for sure, it's not undoing it. Rather, it sounds like it's coming initially, it's running parallel, and therefore it's a full-fledged lav, and also a mitzvah essay, but it's not making the lav, the negative prohibition, any less than the regular full-fledged lav. That's Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Rabbi Yisrael Glazer, he holds, lav ma'al yehu, it's not a full-fledged lav. And that is, he learns that the lav of Nevela, even though that you have to say, as we prove, that the mitzvah saseh that comes after the negative prohibition of eating the carcass, it definitely is going on initially and they're running parallel. However, since it's written after the lav, he holds by Nevela, you do not get malchus. And the reason is because there's a prototype that we use for anywhere that we know that getting lashes on transgressing a negative prohibition. And that's learned out from the Isser, the lav of Chasima, which is the prohibition of muzzling an animal, where all halachas are learned because it's written right next to the Chasima. So we learn the halachas of malchus, of punishment of a lav, from the lav of Chasima. Now, this is not similar because Chasima doesn't have, after it tells you the negative prohibition of muzzling the animal while it's working, then to say, oh, it says a mitzvah saseh afterwards. It doesn't. Since it's not similar in that sense, so therefore, it's not going to get the Isra of Malchus, because he holds, in that sense, it's not like a full-fledged lav, and therefore the Eila will come on it. And therefore, so too, regarding the lav of Leket Shekhem Peah, there also, that even though, yes, it sounds like that the mitzvah say that's coming after it is saying what you should be doing initially, and it's running parallel, however, you still will not get Malchus on it, just like he says by Nevela, because it's not similar to the lav of Chasima, of muzzling an animal, which is where we know all the halachas of transgressing a negative prohibition that you get Malchus. It's not similar in that sense, in that halachic source, and therefore it will not get Malchus, and that is what Rabbi Meir says that they're arguing about. And therefore, he includes like a Shechem Peah in all the other categories where you don't get any unique punishment on it. It gets into that big category of Mitzvah Saseh and Lav Hanitik Laseh, and he includes another category of when it says the essay after the Lav, that you're not getting lashes for it, and therefore, where do you confess those sins? On the Karban Oila. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Abaya Amar, Abaya says, he argues in Rabbi Meir. He says, the Kuli Alma Lav de Nevela, he says that everybody agrees by the negative prohibition of consuming a Nevela, that, as we said, that obviously the mitzvah saseh that comes after it, no one could argue that it's saying initially, because it can't be going afterwards, because once you've eaten it, you can't rectify it by giving it to the Ger Toisha. And therefore, there everyone agrees that Lav Ma'al Yahava, that it's a full-fledged lav, and even Rabbi Yosef Aglili agrees, and this is what Abaye's contention with Rabbi Yirmiyah is, that of course you'll get lashes by that case of the Nevela, because it's a full-fledged lav. However, v'hocha b'tazev, however, here regarding the halachas of leket shechem peah, that when it says of the positive commandment of leave it, tazev, which is written after the negative prohibition of leket shechem peah, komifelgi, it's only here that they argue. And what are they arguing about? Rabbi Kiva holds, Tazav mi'ikar mashma. He learns that the term Tazav sounds like it's going on initially, like he said regarding Nevela, which before you go ahead and you gather it, there's a positive commandment that don't do it. And therefore, of course you're going to get Malchus on this Isser of Leket Shechem Peah, because it's not nitik le'essay. There's no way, it's not rectifying it. The essay is not saying, if you do it, then bring it back. Rather, it's saying initially, don't gather it. In other words, leave it. And therefore, since it's not a lav nitik le'essay, so it's not a category where the oil will be brought for it, it's a regular lav that you'll get malchus, so therefore it's not included in the oila, as his opinion was mentioned. You don't do a vidu oila on leket shechem peah. Rabbi Yosef Glazer, however, basically holds that hashta mashma, that it's going on now. In other words, he learns that it is a lav nitik le'essay. It's not like by Nevela, where again, no one could say it's a lav nitik le'essay because you ate it, you can then rectify it. But he learns that after you went and you gathered the leket that you should have left it there for the poor person, and you transgressed the negative prohibition, that the Torah is saying you have a way of rectifying it. Leave it for him. In other words, leave it for the ani and the ger and bring it back. And therefore, of course, Rabbi Yisrael Glazer's opinion is going to be that you don't get malchus because you could be menatik lasi, and that's why he holds that leket shicha and peya is included in the vidui of an oila, because it's just like the general category that Emin agrees on, that a lava netik lasi is something that does not get malchus, and therefore it's included in the vidui of an oila, and then that is what they argue. Now that Rabbi Yirmi had said that they argue on a different point if it's similar to the lava of chasima or not, rather it's the good old, so to speak, lava netik lasi, because it sounds like they're saying now, not initially, but now, once you transgress, go ahead and fix it by bringing it back. So that concludes the braisa regarding that we introduced the smicha and the vidui related to the different karbanas, and we ended off by a machlekes regarding the vidui of a karban oila. What exactly does that include? Now the Gemara continues with another braisa, again related to our Mishnah, but more specific regarding the vidui, the exact nusach, the terminology that he uses in his confession. So Tambanon, we learned the braisa. Kitzad misvada. How does he confess? What is the order of the confession? So, avisi, that I sinned willfully, peshati, I sinned rebelliously, vechatasi, and I sinned inadvertently. That's the order that it goes. It goes avisi, peshati, and vechatasi. And the Tanakhama says, v'chem b'sar ha-mishtalecho, and the same thing we find by the sawyer that sent away la'azazel, that first comes avinois, then comes pesham, and then comes chatoyim, where we find that it says in the pasuk in Vayikra, that b'sar ha-mishtalecho aimer, v'hizvada olav es kol avoynus b'nei Yisrael, that he should confess on it all the avoynus of the Jewish people, v'es kol peshayim and all their wanton sins, their rebellious sins, l'chol chataysim, for all the inadvertent sins. So we see the same order again, that it has the avoynus, has the peshayim, and then it has the chatoim. We find the same order by Moshe Rabbeinu, a pasuk in Shemais, which is the famous pasuk of the Yud Gimel Midas, the 13 attributes of Hashem's mercy, where he says, "Noisi Avin, Hashem carries their intentional sins, Ufesha and their rebellious sins, Vechata and their inadvertent sins." That's the opinion of the first Tana, that of Remeir, that he holds that is the order in the confession of the Kohen Gadol, as we find in other places that it goes in that order of Avinos, of Pshayim, and then Chatoim. V'chamayim, V'cham say, no, they argue in Remeir. And they say by way of explanation, they say, Avinos, Elo Hazdoinos. Right? Let's agree on the terms. Avinos, that's willful sins. V'chenoim, as it says in the Pasuk Mamidbar, Hikaris Tikaris HaNefesh Ahi, that person will get Karis. Avinaba, that its sin is in it. Now, what type of sin does one get Karis for? For a mazid, for an intentional sin. So that's what Avinos are. There's Avinos. Peshoyim, what does the term peshoyim mean? Elam aradim. That's for someone that's what's called, if he does it, lahachas. He does it in spite. He's doing to be rebellious. That's what peshoyim are. B'chinoim, it's so too as a pasuk in Melachim Beis, where it says, Melech Moyev Pashabi, that the king of Moyev, he was Pashabi. What does it mean? It means to be, he rebelled against me. V'aymer, and similarly it says in another pasuk in Melachim Beis, Oz tivsha livna be'isahi. And then it was that the people of Livna, they rebelled against, at that time, against the king of Judea. So we see that Tifsha, again, connotes a term of rebelliousness. Now, l'chol chataysim, for all their sins, what does that mean? Elo ha-shagagis, those are the inadvertent sins. B'chein o'ayim, so too it says in the pasuk b'yikra, nefesh ki sechata b'shgaga, that a person that he will sin inadvertently. So you see that the term b'shgaga is used in the context of sechata. So therefore you see that chatas is inadvertent. So now, the chacham conclude their question on Remeah. So umiacher shezvada alas doinus val maradim. You said the order is avoinus, psham, and then chatam. But once he's confessing for the willful sins, and then Hashem not only forgive me for the willful sins, but even for the rebellious sins, chayzer mizvada alashkagis. Then after already he goes and he confesses for the inadvertent sins. In other words, does that make sense? Once Hashem is forgiving him for the willful sins and even for the rebellious sins, you don't go ahead and then ask mechila for the inadvertent sins, which is much lower down. Doesn't make sense to have that to end. Ella rather chum argin remeir. Kachay misvada. This was the order of how he would confess. First chatasi. First I have sinned inadvertently. Then vavisi I have sinned intentionally. And then vashati. Then I have sinned rebelliously. Lefanecha in front of you. And ani uvesi v'chulu me and my household and etc. V'chem David I'm so too. The chum say we find by David Hamelch and Tilim the same order. Chatanu, we have sinned inadvertently. Imavasenu, with our fathers. Hevinu, hershanu, we have sinned, we have been crooked, and we have been wicked. So you see that first comes chatoim, and then comes avoynos. Chim b'shleimu, or emesotu b'shleimu, we find in Malachim Aleph. Chatanu, we have sinned inadvertently. That comes first. And then the girsa changes to vehevinu rishanu, we have been wicked, we have been crooked. So you see again that first comes chatas, and then comes avoynos. Okay, but Daniel, why? So do we find by Daniel where it says a pasuk in Daniel, Chatanu of Ve'avinu Ve'hershanu Meranu. We have sinned inadvertently, and we've been crooked and been wicked, and we have rebelled. Again, the same order of Chatos, then Avinus, then Peshaim. So therefore, that's why they argue with Meir. But then the question is, so Elamahu Shama Moshe, so then what's this, the Rai that Meir brought, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, that he says, Noisi Avain Vafesha Vechata, that he has a good Raya, that it says first Avain, then Pesha, then Chatos. And that the Chum say, that it's not because that's the order of how a person should confess, but rather, Amar Moshe Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said as follows, Ribbono Shel Master of the World, at a time when the Jewish people sin against you and they repent, you should consider their willful sins like inadvertent sins. In other words, what he was saying was, you should carry their willful sins and their rebellious sins like the chatas, which is done b'shogeg, and therefore that consider their dinus like shkagas. But of course, if someone's confessing, he doesn't confess on chatos at the end. Rather, first comes chatos, then comes avinus, and then comes the peshaim. Now, the Gemara concludes this discussion by saying, "Amar Rab Bar Shmuel Merav, halacha k'divrei chacham." The halacha follows the halacha as the opinion of the chacham. That first we say chatos, then we say avinus, and then we say peshaim. That's the Gemara's peshita. That's obvious. Why do we need him to tell us that that's the halacha? Yachad v'ram, halacha k'ram. We know that whenever an individual, that of a mayor, argues on the majority, which is the chacham, that the halacha falls like the rabbim, like the majority. So now the Gemara answers, because ma'u detema mistaber time of mayor. I would have thought to say that the logic of a mayor makes more sense, his opinion, because the pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was in the context of the Vida of Yom Kippurim itself, which is what we're referring to when we're talking about the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, because that's the pasuk of the Yud Gimel Midos. Now, the Yud Gimel Midos was the atonement that happened for the Jewish people to then go ahead and be mekabel the luchos shnius on Yom Kippurim. This was what the atonement is what the purpose of Yom Kippurim is. So we would think that although there's a Rabbim arguing Reb Meir, but Reb Meir supports himself with a pasuk regarding the actual Vida that's used in Yom Kippurim itself, and there it has the order of Chatos at the end, so therefore the halacha would follow like Reb Meir. That's what the chiddush of what Rabbi Bar Shmuel was saying in the name of Rav, Kamash Molan, then no, we already explained what the pasuk means. It was just to say to consider this dainus like shkagas, but in regards to confession, Chatos comes first and not last. Actually, the Gemara concludes with a story to illustrate this machlokes in halacha, that Hahu de Nachas Kamei de Rabba, there was this individual, the Shliach Tzibur, that went down in front of Rabba to be the Shliach Tzibur, and he organized his tefillah of Yom Kippurim in the way that he went through the Seder of the Avodas of what the Kohen Gadol did in Yom Kippurim, as is our tefillah. And that's based on the pasuk in Hoshea and Perek Yudal that says, "Neshama parmes v'seinu," that our lips should fulfill the bulls that have to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash by repeating the Seder of the Avodas. We consider it as if the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avodah even today when there is no Beis HaMikdash. So he was saying the Tefillah, he was saying exactly what the Kohen Gadol says and what he does. Vavit Kri Meir. And when the Shlich Tzibah, when the one who is the Baal Tefillah, when he was saying it, he said it like Kri Meir, and that he said the confession was Chatas at the end, not in the beginning. So Amalei, so Rabba responded to him, and he says, Shafkes Rabbon of Avdis Kri Meir, you leave the opinion of the Rabbonon, which is that Chatas should come first, and you're doing like Rav Meir, who's a Yochid, connected to Rabban, and having Chatas at the end. So Amalei, so the Shlich Tzibur said to him, Rav Meir Svili, I hold the Rav Meir, Kedachsiv, Besefer, Raisa de Moshe, like it says in the Torah of Moshe, where Moshe Rabbeinu himself, by the Yud Gimel Midos, had Chatas at the end, and therefore that supports the opinion of Rav Meir, and that's why I was doing like Rav Meir, having Chatas at the end, and not in the beginning. Now, the Gemara continues with the source of the Vidoy of the Kohen Gadol. So Tan Ban Lin Labraisa. Now, regarding what it says in the Torah, regarding the par of the Kohen Gadol, it says in the Pasuk in Meikra, V'chiper, that he will create an atonement, as the Pasuk concludes over there, Ba'adai uva'ad beisai, for himself and for his whole family. And that's done with this par. Now, on that, the Braisa explains, how is he creating an atonement for his family and for himself with this bull? Bechaparas Dvar Makasa Medaber. The Pasuk means a reference through an atonement of speech, which are the words of Vidi that he says, that's what creates the atonement for his family. Now, on that, the Braisa clarifies. Ati Oime Bechaparas Dvar, are you really going to say that it means an atonement of words? Oyeine Ele Kaparas Dama. Or maybe it's only, as Karbanas generally are, an atonement through the bloods of that bull. So on that, the Braisa says, Harei Nidan. That's what I'll judge as follows. Nemer kan kapar, it says over here, by the power of the Kohen Gadol Mikipurim, it says the term atonement. V'nemer lahalon, and it says over there, by the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach, which is the he-goat that's sent to the mountain of Azazel, where it's then thrown over the cliff. It says over there, also kapar, a term of atonement. As it says, Yo'omet chay lefne Hashem, it should stand living in front of Hashem, l'chapar lav, to be an atonement for him. And therefore we make the following comparison. Ma kapar ha'omer Hamur b'sa'ir dvarim, just like the atonement that's said by the Sa'ir is with words, because there is no blood. They don't shech the animal to then receive the blood to do any zrika, which generally karbon is create atonement. Rather, the whole animal just thrown over the cliff, and therefore must be that the atonement is the vidur that's said over the Sa'ir mishtalech. Saf kapar mor b'par dvarim, must be that the atonement over here also, where it says atonement, it references that the atonement is through the words, through the vidui, and not through the actual matanis of the dam, of the blood that's thrown in the holy area. Now that the Brisa continues, says v'im nafshecha loimer. But if you want to say, in other words, if you want to answer, you have a response, a retort to this gezer shava that I'm making, to say that the chaper is not with devarim, but rather it would be with the gifts of the blood. However, on that is what the Brisa says. Even if you'll find some way of saying you don't like this gezer shava, but in this area itself, I will prove to you that you can't say that. Because if you look at the parasha of Par itself, Hare Yoimer, it says in the Pasuk, V'hikrav Aaron is Par HaChatos Asholoi, that Aaron will bring close the Par, the bull, that's for a sin offering for himself, the Chibar Ba'adoi V'ad Be'isai, and he will create an atonement for himself and for his family. Now only afterwards does it say in the Pasuk, V'shachat is Par HaChatos, etc. Only then after it says this Pasuk does it say that then he'll slaughter this bull of the Chatos. Now, obviously, when it's saying in the Pasuk, V'chiper ba'adoi v'ad be'isai, that he's going to have this atonement for himself, but v'adayin l'nishchar apar. But as we see in the context of the Pasuk, he didn't yet slaughter the bull, and therefore, how can you say that he has an atonement if the atonement isn't through the bloods? Must be that the atonement is not through the bloods, rather it must be through the words that he's saying, and that's how we know that that's the atonement is going to be through the vidui, and not through the matan dam itself, because when it says v'chiper, it didn't even slaughter yet. It was only after he did the, when he's doing the vidui, must be it's kapar's dvarim and not kapar's dam. Now the Gemara goes to explain the Braisa. Mai v'im nafshecha loimer. What did the Braisa mean to say that if you want, in other words, what could have been the response regarding the gezer shava that says, okay, you know what, I'll bring you a different reason, and look in the pasuk itself, you see it has to be kapar's dvarim. What was wrong with the gezer shava to show by Sa'ir mishtaleach? Kapara must mean with words because there is no matnas dam. And so to over here, by the power it says kapara, must also mean kapara's dvarim. So that the Gemara says, because the Braisa had to say another raya, because v'chitema neilev, because if you want to say that you could learn the v'chiper of the power of the Kohen Gadol, misar hanasa b'fnim, from not the sar that's sent outward to the lazazel, the one that's mishtaleach, but rather there were two seirim. One went Lashem and one went Lazazel. The Sa'ar that's done inside, you could learn the Kapar that's written by the Sa'ar that goes in, as it says there also, the Chiper ala Kodesh mitumis b'nei Yisrael, that will create an atonement for the tumis of the Jewish people. There shekaparasi b'dam. There the atonement is with its blood. A, first of all, that pasuk of the Kapar regarding the Sa'ar that's done inside the Heichel, that's written only after the bloods are already sprayed. And also, there is no vidui by the Sa'ir HaNasa B'fnim. So it must be that the kapar of the Sa'ir HaNasa B'fnim is with its bloods. And therefore, I would say the same thing would apply, that would be by the power of the Kohen Gadol, where it also says kapar. Maybe we learn from the Sa'ir HaNasa B'fnim that's with the bloods and now with the vidui. That Harei Yo'aymer, that's what the Braisa continues with. The second Raya in the parish of the power of the Kohen Gadol itself, it says, V'chiper, that he will create an atonement, V'adayin l'nishchar apar. But the power, the bull, wasn't yet even slaughtered, and therefore that was the Braisa's conclusive proof to say that it must be the atonement for himself and his family with his power, is with the vidud vrum that he says, and not even with the matnas dam that's generally done with a carbon to create an atonement. Now the Braisa continues, U'minayin sheba'ana. Now how do we know, as our Mishnah tells us, that the vidui of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim begins with ana, please? So that the Braisa says, Neme kan kapar, it says over here, as we said before, by the power of the Kohen Gadol, it says the term of atonement. V'nem lahan b'chayrv, and it says over there by Har Sinai, which was after the Jewish people sinned by the Cheta, Egel, by the golden calf, it says there also a term of kapar, of atonement, where Moshe Rabbeinu said in Shemais Lamed Beis, Ulay achapra ba'atchataschem. Maybe I'm going to be able to get an atonement from Hashem for your sins. So it says there also a term of atonement. Now malahal and ba'ana, just like over there, it uses the term in the pasuk of ana, of please. So afkan ba'ana, here also in the vida of the Kohen Gadol, he also uses the term of ana, of please. Now ubinayin shebishem. Now how do we know also that not only does he say ana, but he uses Hashem's name where he says ana Hashem? How do we know that you use Hashem's name in the vida of the Kohen Gadol? So that's learned out from a different comparison, again with the term of kapara. Because nemekan kapara, it says over here by the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, the term of atonement, v'nemel be'egla arufa kapara. And it says by the parasha of the decapitated calf, which is when they find a dead body between two cities, not sure where he died, so the closest city has to bring this egla arufa, and then they say an atonement over there. So there it says over there, a term of atonement, as the pasuk says in Devarim Chaf Aleph, Kaper la'amchi Yisrael, you should atone for your Jewish people, asher padis Hashem, that you have redeemed Hashem. So malahal b'shem, just like over there where it says a term of atonement, and it used the name of Hashem, as it says asher padis Hashem, afkan b'shem. So here also, by the power of the Kohen Gadol Mikippurim, where it says a term of kapara, it also utilizes in the vidui the term of Hashem, Hashem's name. Now, however, the Gemara concludes with a question. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, so we know Kohen Gadol Mikippurim, we're learning him out one place from Har Sinai, from Moshe Rabbeinu, by the Cheder Egel, one place for a different halacha, we learn from the Egel Arufa. But then Abaye says, but what's with the other? In other words, Amabaya, Bishlem, Echariv, Me Egel Arufa, Lo Yalof. You can't learn out Moshe Rabbeinu's, what he was doing by Har Sinai, to learn out from the halachas of Egel Arufa. In other words, to say that Moshe Rabbeinu, not only should he have said Ana, but he should have also said Hashem, because wait, it says Kapara by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Chayir, by Har Sinai, and it says Kapara by Egla Rufa, and just like we're comparing to Kohen Gadol Kippurim, so too we should compare what's by Egla Rufa to Moshe Rabbeinu, and to say that, wait, Moshe Rabbeinu, you should have said not only Ana, but Hashem, because it says Kapara by both them. And that the Abaye says, that's not a question, because Ma'ida Hava, what was. In other words, this is in the past. You can't go backwards and through halachas, in other words, by the way of defining Zeres Shavis, to then say retroactively, this is how it should have been. Or as like the Tesis Yeshanim explains, says, look, when Moshe Rabbeinu did what he wanted to do, and he said, Ana, without Hashem, even though it says Kapara by both. However, what Abaye is saying, but the halachas, at least of Egla Rufa, which are halachas for the future, which is what's negeya in the current context of the Torah, should also learn that from Har Sinai, and it should not only require Hashem's name of Asher Patisa Hashem, but should also require Ana Hashem, the term of please, because both of them have kapara, like we learned to Kohen Gadol requires please from Chayyab. So to Egla Rufa, those halachas should learn that from what Moshe Rabbeinu said by Har Sinai. Now, Abaye says, v'chite ma'achename, and if you're going to say that, yes, by what's said by the Egla Rufa requires also ana, but now we learn in the Mishnah, explicitly, in Masech Tesaitet of Mem Vav Med Aleph, by that when it explains the halachas of Egla Rufa, that it says not like that. It says, ha'kanam o'ibim b'kanam say, the pasuk in Devarim, of kapar la'am chisrael, that you should atone for your people, the Jewish people, v'ilu ba'ana, lo'ikama, but it doesn't say, using the term of please. Therefore, Abaye concludes, Kasha, it seems to be a challenge. Again, it's not a refutation, but it seems to be a challenge if we're saying that this is the source for the Kohen Gadol Kippurim, learning out one term of Ana from Moshe Rabbeinu by Chayiv, and learning another term of Hashem for the Egla Rufa, although we're not going to ask why Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't do what it says by Egla Rufa, but the halachas of Egla Rufa, where it says Kapara, should be learned out from the pasuk of Kapara by Chayiv, where there it said Ana, so too by the halachas of Egla Rufa, should also require, just like we're saying by the Kohen Gadol Kippurim, should also require not only a term of Hashem, but also a term of Ana, of please.